Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you like Shaboozy?
I do like Shaboozy.
You like Shaboozy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've been into Shaboozy a lot lately.
Look at you.
He's got a song. One of his newer ones is called Good News. I got some good news.
95.7 The Game. Breaking news.
Per Adam Schefter.
Sources.
Additional scans today on wide receiver Juwan Jennings' shoulder have come back totally clean. The 49er wide receiver has avoided any significant injury at all. He is now considered day-to-day with a chance to play on Sunday.
Okay. And I wonder what the injury was. If it just was a... Because the play was when he was running downfield and the defensive back just stepped up and gave him a shimmy right to the shoulder. And they called a flag on it, illegal contact. But it looked worse than apparently it turns out to be. Maybe it just was like... A stinger or a bone bruise, who knows?
I don't know. That's great news. Yeah, like very shocking because he looked downtrodden.
Yep.
He could not lift his arm. I got some more good news. Man, Shaboozy's on a hot streak. I got more good news. You ready for this?
More?
Well, first of all, we're going to go to the phones, but our first caller is one hell of a caller. This is a caller. This isn't just like, oh, let's go to Joe and Santa Clara. No.
Is a caller?
His name is Mark Ibanez.
What?
Mark Ibanez. First and foremost, Grandy knows that you spell Mark with a K. And secondly, he's a legend around these parts. And I love whenever he's inspired to give us a call. Mark, how you been, man?
Hey, everything's good. Retirement is everything it's cracked up to be.
I love it. I love it.
Boy.
You were a smiley guy during your career, but now... I mean, you can just hear the smile on you, Mark.
Well, I appreciate that. I was getting a kick out of your conversation about Doug Bryan in particular and that game where he missed a field goal, potential game winner against Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Well, I had kind of an interesting anecdote about that, and I couldn't resist calling you guys. Yeah. I hear you every afternoon. And so... I did the post-game show, the 49ers Point After, and we were at that dreadful game when Doug Bryan happened to miss that kick, and he was in a little bit of a slump anyway. And our post-game guest was the great offensive lineman, Harris Barton. You guys remember him?
Oh, yeah, of course. Right?
Yeah, well, one of the reasons we always had Harris on is he was never afraid to speak his mind. So he comes on, and... You know, he's all frustrated. He's sweaty, still in his pads. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but I've repeated this story a few times, so it's still pretty fresh. And he was like, you know, we're down in the pits. We're grinding. We're shoving. Blood, sweat, and tears. And this little guy prances out on the field, and he doesn't even have a dirty uniform, and he misses this kick from like 32 yards. And I can't believe it. I can't believe we keep a guy like this, you know? And he was just outraged. It was one of the most candid, overly emotional interviews you'll ever hear. We got him fresh before he even showered. And sure enough, he got released the next day. And him being a Danville guy, I knew how to get a hold of him, and I actually interviewed him after the release. It might have been like Tuesday. And I'll never forget what Doug Bryan said, you know, about the Harris Barton comments. He said something to the effect of, you know, I thought a teammate would have my back a lot more than that. You know, I really didn't expect Harris to say something like that. And internally, I'm thinking, dude, I'm sorry to break it to you, and kind of alluding to what you earlier said, Mark, is like, you're the kicker.
Yep.
You're barely a teammate. You know, they don't consider you totally on the team unless, like, for years and years. I mean, Ray Wershing's about the closest guy I knew on the Niners that was accepted as a true teammate. And then on the other side, remember George Blanda used to kick, and Ray Guy. Those guys were dudes who were accepted by everybody. But that's the straight-up truth about it. If you're a kicker, you got to prove yourself maybe double, triple time. And that, unfortunately, is what happened to our young guy here, man. Like you said, helmets were flying, man, and people were ticked off.
And it's a fickle thing because in that game, Mark, as you well remember, he hits a 51-yarder to give him the lead. Jim Harbaugh, quarterbacking the Colts, leads him back.
Right.
Terry Blanchard puts him ahead, and then Doug Bryan from 46, no good. And the rest is, as you know, history.
Yeah, and as they always say, you're only as good as your last kick, right? And that's a perfect example of it. And, you know, I was down on the field when that happened, and I'm glad you pulled up the info there because in my mind it seemed shorter. It seemed shorter than 46. But, you know, I was emotionally wrapped up in that game too. But when you guys were talking about, and Doug Bryan, a class act, good guy, soccer star, and as you mentioned, guys, he had a really strong, dozen years in the NFL, and he bounced back. He was strong, and he withstood it, and I'm sure that was a low moment for him, but, you know, he's got some character, and he bounced back, and as I'm sure Looney will do, too.
Yeah, Moody. I know, Moody's and Looney's on all the teams, we can't even keep track, but anyway, no, exactly right.
Like
go ahead, Mark.
I was going to say, you know what? One of the great things about being a retired sportscaster, you don't have to sweat it about screwing up guys' names anymore.
Yeah, it's so great. You've earned that. Just in your honor, I'm going to call him Looney for the rest of the day. Who cares? Who cares?
Okay.
You know, buddy, it's always good to hear your voice. Call anytime.
I appreciate you. Great show, and I like the dynamic between you two. Keep it edgy. I like it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. Enjoy that retirement.
That's a good man right there. That's Mark Ibanez.
And if you ever happen to come across him, just check the guns. Sneaky guns.
It's a show.
It's a total show.
It's a show.
Especially in the summer months.
I mean, look, he is not wrong. And I want everybody to know this today. It doesn't matter if you think it's unkind or not. But no, they do not think the kicker is their teammate. They don't. They go to training camp in August. Many of these places, it's 100 degrees. And they are absolutely trading sweat, trading blows, trading paint, doing all of these things. And the kickers are over on the side of the field playing hacky sack. They don't think you're on their team. They just don't.
And it's a zero tolerance when it comes to things like that. Because, yeah, Doug Bryan kicks a big one, 50-plus, to give you the lead. Kerry Blanchard with the answer. And now you got to make another kick to win the game, and you don't? Forget what happened about 12 minutes earlier. That doesn't matter anymore. Mark's right. You're only as good as your last kick. And for Jake Moody, forget that last kick that he made, and the touchdown is what they needed to win it. It's the two previous, one blocked, one missed, and that's it.
The Moody news, obviously, he is gone. We're going to talk a lot about the 49ers injury bug, and if there's something well beyond bad luck that's going on here, although some good luck was just broken a short time ago in that Juwan Jennings' shoulder comes back completely clean. MRI, CT scan, everything is clean. The Niners say that Juwan is day-to-day and has a chance to play on Sunday. I do wonder where this leaves Kendrick Bourne. And I was wrong because I sort of took Kyle Shanahan talking the way he did openly about Kendrick Bourne to mean they knew Juwan's injury was bad. I wonder now if it meant more, they weren't very pleased with what they saw from the likes of Russell Gage and Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Absolutely.
And so that's sort of maybe the role that they'll go with Bourne because they signed him. They signed him to a one-year deal.
Yeah, and the thing that I'm starting to think about more and more, Mark, is what Kendrick knows that Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Russell Gage, maybe to a lesser extent, don't know. He knows the offense.
The system. Yep.
He knows the system. He knows what Shanahan wants, and I think that he knows what his role will be. And I can't help but think about the game Sunday, and I've watched it now a few different times in different ways, and there are so many times when they broke the huddle, and you had a couple guys like running over to Brock Purdy like, hey, Brock, do I start over here and then I motion? Do I? And Brock's like, no, you're there. You're there. I got 7 seconds. We're going to get everything set. Now you go in motion. Now we run the play. And I don't think you have to do that with Kendrick Bourne.
I agree. And I just, every day that goes by, again, probably won't surprise y'all, but like, I'm not saying he played great, but I just gain a sort of a different level of appreciation for what Brock Purdy was dealing with on this day. When you have multiple injuries to major names, you have receivers asking you where they're supposed to go, you have a pressure rate that is the highest that you've ever faced in a football game in your career, you have a kicker who's missing all of the kicks. All of these things are tucked into one. It's a tough day. I'm not going to say that that makes his interceptions excusable by any stretch, but that's a tough day. There was a lot of adversity that that offense had to deal with. And so no wonder they didn't look great, at least at times.
Right.
But they found a way to win a football game.
They found a way. And if you look at the fourth quarter receptions, George Kittle, 0. Juwan Jennings, 0. Brandon Ayuk, 0. And
DeMarcus Robinson,
also 0. Gage and MVS, fine, also 0.
No targets either.
You had some CMCs. You had some Pearsalls. You had a Juice. And then you had Tonjes. You had 3 Tonjes's, yep, which were the first 3 catches of his career, which were big, bigger, and the game winner. And so you did it with basically your running back, your wide receiver 1, and a tight end that nobody ever thought would play.
I'm hosting a party tonight at 9 o'clock. Do you want to come?
I do,
it's
yeah.
It's called the Jake Tonjes Waiver Claim Party.
Oh, wow.
Everybody's going to come over to the Casa, and we're all going to put in the claims. Submit. At least a month, that's your tight end 1, San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, maybe.
What do you mean, yeah?
Well, and we can get into this more as we get closer to the Greg Cosell portion of our week, but they're going to do a lot of Luke Farrell as well. I think Braden Willis is going to be up, and I think that it's more, for me anyway, waiver claim-wise, it might be more of a Kyle Juszczyk maneuver because
that's interesting.
I think his play time goes up.
But you can't play him at tight end.
No, but...
You can play him in a running back spot?
Based on...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our league and what we all have at running back.
That's fair.
I'm hoping for Quinshon Judkins to get healthy.
Good luck to you. All right, let's get to the phones. A lot of you want to weigh in.
16 teams.
Kim Inman in about 25 minutes. K Bueno in Oakland is first up. Hey, K Bueno, what you doing?
What's up, guys? Now I just was listening in. I mean, man, talk about pressure. Now I got to follow Marky Banez.
Yeah, don't mess it up, okay?
Okay, let me sit my tea real fast here. Hold on.
Yeah.
Look, no more Moody Blues. It finally came. He's been let go. Okay, good. It's been a long time coming. It was well overdue. I think you made a great point. Like, you know, Shanahan's showing everybody in the locker room, we want to win this thing, and he has to make a move. I think if he didn't do that, he potentially lose credibility with the locker room there. Now, what I want to touch on earlier, though, too, you know, you mentioned is about Pinheiro. You know, we don't know if he's going to be our kicker yet. He's still trying out, but I'm going to assume that he's going to be our next guy. I would feel better with a kicker that's more accurate than with a kicker who's got a 60-yard leg and can't make the chip shots. I mean, Moody, wish him all the best. Again, another personal, you hope he has a long-standing career. Clearly, it's got to be all between the ears here, but the guy can kick it 60 yards plus, that's no doubt. He's going to get it between the uprights. Pinheiro, you know, 32 of 41 over his career, 40 to 49 yards, 11 to 14, 50 plus. Not the greatest, not great, but it also doesn't suck totally. So I would feel more confident having somebody like that coming in to kick a PAT than to have Moody. It's just, it had to be done. Finally, we could kind of rest a little better now and don't have to worry about having drives being killed by missed field goals or having momentum shifts. Because it's not just about leaving points on a board, but it's momentum shifts, too. And see, as you know, the football, it's a huge shift of momentum. It could change the whole swing of the game. So glad to see it done. Let's just hope kills Hammy now. Not going to be a season-long issue, but that's another topic. But, yeah, that's my take. Pinheiro, I'll take him any day over Moody.
Okay, bueno, thanks. I think what he's talking about, there's a piece of it here, too. First of all, the main thing is you don't have time to let him work out his issues. We've seen this. We've had conversations like this about James Wiseman and Trey Lance and the others. Like, when you're trying to win, you just don't have time to watch people work out their issues. But even if you think that Jake Moody's going to be good someday, sometimes it's just like, but it can't be here. It can't be here.
Yep.
You know what I mean? If Matt Stafford gets hurt this year, maybe Jimmy Garoppolo will come back and re-find who he used to be. But he can't do it in Vegas. You're not allowed back there anymore.
No.
That went so bad that you're just like, it's tainted. It's like, you can't, that relationship has to be over. And I feel the same way about Moody in the Niners.
Little Camilo Duvall. Jake Moody, Duvall had some good moments here, and he had some rough moments, and you got to a spot where you realize he's not a bad player, but he needed to go do it somewhere else, and so you found a way to have him go somewhere else. And it's the same thing, perhaps, with Jake Moody. Inside 40 yards, Jake Moody, 90.9% for his career. Eddie Pinheiro, 95.7.
Yep.
So that's inside of 40, which you got to be closer to the Pinheiro numbers, 96%.
Yeah, you got to hit those.
As opposed to 91. And, you know, PATs are almost identical, and they both have kicked in the extended PAT era. So the only thing that's going to be interesting if they sign Pinheiro is if it's 4th and 2 at the 38-yard line, what do you do, Kyle Shanahan? Do you bring him out for a 55-yarder, or do you go for it?
Depends on the situation.
And really quick, guys, before we hit a break, we have some news from Adam Schefter. The Niners are officially signing Eddie Pinheiro.
Eddie D.
No.
Eddie De Niro.
You need to stop that.
Eddie De Niro.
It's a one-year deal, and he's on the active roster.
All right, so he
can't be Eddie D here.
He's passed his trial. He kicked straight.
What about Ed D?
Ed D. Nero? Whatever.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.